Hi. Toby has encouraged me just to take matters into my own hands and come up here. So I did. And I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Terry Davis. I worked for many years organizing for the United Electrical Workers. And I'm now happily retired and a member of Chicago Jobs with Justice. And it is the latter that I want to particularly talk about today. I want to start saying a couple of things about this recent split in the labor movement. I think, and I just like to briefly characterize the two sides, because I think we have to kind of know where we're at right here. I hope this isn't too controversial. I think the AFL-CIO came out of the period that Adolf so well described of the old contract being broken and is still in shell shock, not able to adjust to the horrible beating that workers have been taking and that unions have been taking for the last couple of decades. So there's already a kind of a state of confusion in the AFL-CIO about the betrayal of the former promise. Change to Win comes in. And unfortunately, unlike the split when the CIO broke off from the AFL, that was around a huge principle, which was organize the unorganized, wall-to-wall organizing, get everyone on an industrial basis, don't just pick the crafts. That was a really principled, and it was a powerful movement behind it. Unlike that, Change to Win, with whatever good intentions of organizing the unorganized, is kind of presenting themselves as technocrats that have a better methodology rather than broad principles and inspiring ideals. I think that's hugely important and hugely sad that there's not a sort of, there was not a debate about the real bedrock principles of solidarity and organizing all workers. Okay, so that's the situation we're in. Change to Win is going to do what they're going to do. The AFL is trying to figure out what the hell to do without a budget since they lost all this per capita. So, you know, it's really bad enough there. But then you add on to that the tremendous bitterness that exists over this thing. That's the bad news. Could I prevail on somebody to hand me one of those water bottles? Thank you. Thanks. Okay, but I want to talk a little bit about the good news. It's not that good, but this split took place at the very top. This was almost like a little closet debate among people at the top of the unions, and most members, including leaders of large labor bodies, don't know what it was about, and they don't know why it happened. And they're like, what? So the good news is that this wasn't a rift that went right from top to bottom and brother against brother and sister against sister. It's not like that. It's like, what? What happened? So, the effect of that is that people on local levels all over, I think, I don't know, I mean, what do I know, but the impression I have from the word on the street is that people are, from both sides of the split, are looking, trying to look for ways to work together and to patch it up and to have a unified labor movement, you know, to the extent that it's possible under these conditions. Sorry, I'm really thirsty. So what does that mean for us who aren't in the little smoke-filled rooms, who are out here in the trenches trying to revitalize the labor movement? I think that one of the things that is totally important from my experience, and I think we all kind of agree if we're union people, is that organization, you know, you have to have something that brings people together. You just can't go out yourself and ask for a raise or, you know, whatever else you may be wanting. You have to have organization. And I want to humbly propose that there is an organization that has worked really well for us in Chicago, and that's Jobs with Justice. We organized in the early 90s, we started people, and the people who came together were people who sort of represented, I think, the best in the Chicago labor movement, the people who were really activists, who wanted to get out there on the picket line, who wanted to mix it up. and who were some who weren't in unions but just believed in it and wanted to get active, and some who represented labor bodies, various locals and other groups in Chicago, so that there was a grounding in reality. It wasn't just what we call free radicals, but there's a grounding in institutional reality with the unions and a tie to actual labor struggles that were going on. And the vision of justice goes beyond just unions. So that from the beginning, there's been community organizations, religious organizations. There's a community chair, there's a labor chair, a community chair, and a religious chair to Chicago Jobs and Justice, which really does make all those groups, the Coalition for the Homeless, the Community Renewal Society, they come to the table too. Now, the principle of Jobs and Justice is pretty, on one level, it's pretty simple. It's like three words: I'll be there. Okay? And that means you sign a pledge and you say, I'll be there. What is it, James? 6 times in a year or something? 5. Oh, only 5. 5 times in a year, you're going to get out there on somebody else's picket line. You're going to help somebody else's fight. And it's like a personal pledge. So this is not for the Adolf. This is not for the staffers only. This is for the individual activist, which is what we do need to get back to. And so you sign the pledge. But then on a somewhat more complex and broader level, then the organizations that are part of this and who fund it, you know, this is funded principally by unions, you get together and talk about this tough strike that's been going on for a year or 2 years, or this organizing campaign where you just cannot get through. You draw on each other's skill and wisdom, and sometimes this is sort of painful and embarrassing. And people from big established unions have to admit they don't know what the hell to do in a tough situation. But we've all been there, so, you know, we help each other. And so we help each other strategize. We go and yell on each other's picket lines. We try to learn from each other's failures. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity to bring people together. Now, the reason I think it's important now more than ever is because we need to look for ways to get over this split thing. We've got to figure out a way to make that concrete and not just say, isn't it a shame, but to actually have ongoing experience working together. Okay, so Jobs and Justice just had a national conference in St. Louis just last month. And it was the biggest one ever. Over 1,000 people there from all over the country, and importantly, people from unions on both sides of the split. Everybody pledging their continuing support for the organization, and everyone saying things like, and especially the Change to Win people who may have felt a little under the gun on this issue, working class solidarity, they were all saying it. Great, this is wonderful, and we need to expand it, I think. And I wanted to, I don't want to run over my time, but I want you to be aware that in the room is the executive director of Chicago Jobs and Justice. And he came down armed with some literature and stuff. And we're going to have a workshop, I guess, this afternoon on this very subject. And James, do you want to reveal yourself? James Tim. You know, help that to be a project of this think tank. I just want to add one more little thought, and then I'll shut up. But there are other things that, boy, is this buzzing, bothering you? It's echoing.
Try that.
Okay. I just wanted to mention, I don't have time to talk about it, and I knew I wouldn't, but I didn't want to sit down without mentioning it, and that is U.S. Labor Against the War, which is another national grouping of unions that come from both sides of the split and who have been, and has also pledged to, you know, everybody's pledged to stay the course as far as, like, continuing U.S. labor against the war that has, you know, dozens of affiliates, locals, labor councils, regional bodies all over the country, and has done some incredible things, including organizing a successful tour of Iraqi labor leaders in this country. Amazing that that was possible. And incredibly, getting the AFL-CIO, even though, I mean, you know, it was in rather unusual circumstances, but still, getting the AFL-CIO for the first time ever, maybe, to go on record against a current administration's foreign policy. You might not realize, but that just isn't done. And, you know, it happened. So that was some very hard organizing that went on. Very tough, very persistent organizing that went on. So I wanted to give a little plug, U.S. Labor Against the War. So. So I'll end by saying I think, you know, we've never needed unions any more than we need them today. We've never needed the unions to have a broad program of solidarity. And we've probably, in my working lifetime, I don't think we've had a more receptive public out there. There's polls all show people want to be in unions. And it's a question of organization and, you know, just hoping that we get to that tipping point because the conditions are there. We got to do it. You know, we got to do it because there is no alternative. So, okay, thank you very much, and thank you for having me tonight.